Hello and welcome to Healing House Radio with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is a chiropractor, energetic healing practitioner, noted public speaker, teacher, and published author. This session will be an exploration in finding true balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. Dr. Eileen will be discussing holistic wellness through indigenous traditions from across the globe and across generations. We then invite you to call in and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen here at Healing House Radio. I want to first off welcome everybody listening, and also if anybody would like to log on and chat in our chat room, you will be assisted by the lovely and talented producer, Kina. If you'd like to call in for our friends in the LA area, it's 424-258-9337. And for the rest of everybody, call in toll-free, 877-697-9725. On this installation of the Work of Wellness year-end extravaganza, we're going to be talking today about the saying that the body cries the tears, but the eyes do not. And what I mean by that is I want to explore the importance of personal authenticity for our mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. When we're not authentic, when we're not really being in our truth, then we don't honor the fact that, you know, this is something that we need to bring ourselves into balance. So first thing I'd like to talk about is last night I was at this amazing, amazing ceremony, which is, it was called the Light of Lights. It's here in the Silicon Valley, San Francisco Bay Area. And it really was such a beautiful, beautiful ceremony because what they do is it's a candle lighting ceremony for people who are in grief and for people who have lost someone. And so people had the opportunity to come up and they would light a candle and they could say the name of the person they lost in the candle, you know, to the group, and that way honoring that person. And in talking about grief, Dottie Boone was the keynote speaker. And she brought up the fact that often when we're in our grief, we really don't talk about it. We don't let it out. And we feel that either we have to be strong or there's things to do or our grief somehow does not measure up to someone else's grief. That, no, I want to hold this in because this other person needs that attention and that support and all of that help more than I do. And it really is something that a lot of people struggle with, that sense of what I'm going through really doesn't measure up compared to someone else, and that other people should be nurtured and all of that, and I really either we feel we don't deserve it or somehow we feel that if we ask for that help, it somehow means that we're less strong and that we're not as capable. And it was just so beautiful seeing all these people, and it was an entire, you know, church full of people. And afterwards, you see people connecting, you see people talking to each other, you see strangers going up and just embracing one another and supporting one another in that way. And it was such a lovely thing to see that just open, you know, willingness to just be present with someone and in the moment with that person. And that it didn't matter. You know, there were people who hugged and embraced and supported and then just walked away. It wasn't about something that was long and in-depth. It was just in that moment for someone to say, I'm sorry you're going through what you're going through, and just to be there and support them in that. And that really is a part of that work of personal authenticity, because really and truly, the body does cry the tears that the eyes don't. When we suppress, when we hold things in, when we don't speak our truth, it creates aggravations. In the old days, it was the idea, it's like, oh, you're going to get an ulcer. And, you know, some people think, oh, you're going to get you know, a brain tumor or cancer or, you know, anything like that, that there is a physical consequence for an emotional suppression of really what needs to come out. When you talk to different, you know, people in different fields of therapy and different fields of recovery and who support those who are going through these emotional processes, one of the first things that you have to get past is that person's resistance to really opening up, the person's resistance to say anything other than, well, I'm fine, I've got no problems. It's those other people who have problems, but I don't have a problem. Or when you speak to someone who says, I never get angry. And the first thing I always think is that when somebody says, I never get angry, I think of the movie Anger Management with Adam Sandler and Jack Nicholson, and how his perception of, no, I'm not angry, I'm perfectly reasonable, the reality that he was thinking existed wasn't the reality on the outside, and that on the outside he was this really outward, angry person, but he wasn't willing to acknowledge it. Do we get angry? Yes, we get angry. There is a light and shadow side to everything, and there is definitely, there's a light side to being able to express that energy and get it out of your body and be able to be really honest in what you're saying. Now, does that mean that you need to just blow up at everybody and say really mean-spirited things just because it's what you feel in that moment? You can, and there are consequences. And looking at the way you want to release, consider, okay, what will this do for me? Yeah, you have my permission to be totally selfish in that moment and think about, what will this do for me? Yes, we have to consider what we're putting out in the universe. We have to consider the idea of manifesting, you know, the energy that goes out and, you know, what we bring in. But first and foremost, what will this do for me? Will it give me a momentary feeling of satisfaction at the expense of another that will very quickly fade and I'm still going to be upset and I'm still going to be frustrated? Or am I really upset or frustrated because there's something that I'm afraid of? And how can I be my most authentic in what I'm going to say? If there's somebody who has upset me and, you know, I really feel that I need to address it with them, the first thing I take a look at is, okay, where does this live in me? What's going on? Looking at it from a mental, physical, and spiritual level. Physically, where am I feeling my tension? You know, am I feeling it in my belly? Am I feeling it in my throat? Is it triggering a headache? Is it triggering me to, you know, breathe irregularly? What is it that's going on in me physically? Where can I identify it? And taking a look at, you know, I mean, do I feel like crying? Do I feel like screaming? What is the physical response that my body is saying it wants to make? Then I look at the mental idea. It's like, okay, more than likely if somebody has irritated me, it's because they triggered something for me. They triggered an old fear. They triggered an old resentment. They may have triggered something that someone else had done that I didn't address with them. And so a part of me says, no, I'm not dealing with this again. So the current person, you know, the antagonist, is going to get a double dose. They're getting what they did, and they're getting what this other person did just because I chose not to resolve it with the other person. So when I start thinking and breaking it down, it's like, okay, you know, first off, you know, do I need to own this? If I'm mad at them because of something they said to me that I felt was a criticism, I mean, the first thing you have to do is go, okay, was the criticism valid? What is the part of this that I do have to take on to myself? Now, I may think about that and say, you know what? There wasn't a doggone thing that I need to take on myself about that. It was just completely invalid. And, okay, we checked that off the list. So first, figure out whether or not there's something that you need to own. Second, figure out, am I angry or am I scared? And in deciding how that triggers, there's an interesting little sort of mind game that I was taught. And it deals with kind of narrowing down really where the emotion is coming from, where the energy is coming from. And it starts off with just asking because. And so I would say, okay, that person's rudeness upset me. And then, you know, and you could do this with two people, but, you know, it has to be someone that you can really trust and talk to. So the second question is, okay, that their rudeness upset me because, like, well, because I felt it devalued me, and I don't deserve that. Totally valid. Well, being devalued upsets me because, well, maybe because I've been devalued before, and it was really hurtful to me, and I don't like the way I feel about myself. Well, I don't like the way I feel about myself when I'm being devalued because, well, maybe because one of my old tapes that, you know, I play for myself from something a long time ago says maybe I deserve to be devalued, and I'm really scared that somehow I deserve that. Then we're talking about something totally different. We're not talking about you being angry. We're talking about something that has an opportunity to be corrected, to be brought into correction. And sometimes, you know, it's just, and sometimes it's just, you know what, they're an irritant and I just don't like them and I really don't agree with them and they're just unpleasant. You know, sometimes people are just unpleasant. And sometimes that's actually them being their authentic self. In many cases, in growing up and in traveling, I have encountered racism, both on a personal level and just on a, gee, I was just a person in the crowd. And I always found it interesting when in dealing with the concept of racism that I would prefer an honest racist over a dishonest one. Because if that person honestly feels that way, are they not being authentic by saying so? I mean, in the minds of most, they're totally wrong. But in their reality, at least they're being honest. And it's when we try to be something we're not. It's when we try to portray something that we're not. It's when we try, in order to either reduce risk, to survive, or to look good, we put on a particular persona and try to reflect a particular reality. That's when we start having those negative effects on ourselves, because you cannot hold that. You really can't. And sometimes you can hold it for a long time. It's just it gets to you and eats at you and eats at you when you're not being authentic. And some people who study different forms of spirituality, it really affects them. When they don't speak up, the physical reactions are huge. So it's really important to take a look at really who are you? What is it that you believe? Even if it's something that other people don't believe. Now, does that mean that you take whatever your beliefs are and put them on a big banner and run them around, even if you know that there's going to be, you know, there may be some reactions to it? I mean, we all have to live in a certain world where we have to make certain adjustments to, you know, based on our environment. I mean, you know, the workplace, not so much, you know, the format to, you know, start speaking either on religious or political or spiritual or whatever viewpoint. Preferably not a holiday dinner, especially if you know it's going to provoke something. Now, if somebody asks you a question, you can answer it as honestly as you feel appropriate. And there are times when things can be phrased particular ways. But bottom line, you still have to be authentic. And being authentic may be saying, you know what, I really would, you know, prefer not to discuss that. That is more authentic than telling someone they want to hear, even though you know it goes totally against what you believe. And it can create resentment. It can create all kinds of really hard energy within yourself. And it's important to realize that that stuff you hold is constantly in a state of throwing your system off. The idea of remaining in balance, in scientific terms, it's referred to as homeostasis, that your physical body is constantly in a state of working to maintain homeostasis to the best of its ability. That means regulating your temperature. It means regulating your body's pH. It means regulating your respiration. It means regulate all these things that your body is constantly, every single second, there are, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of tiny little micro adjustments that your body is making in order to keep everything in alignment and keep everything balanced. Your spinal column is constantly in a state of making sure, because what your body wants to do is keep your eyes at horizon. So if you spend a lot of time sitting hunched over, well, your head would be looking down. So your neck has to crane up. The muscles respond saying, okay, we've got to bring the eyes up to horizon. So that means, and you see, you know, these kids with these huge backpacks, they're leaned over and their heads are craned kind of out in front and lifted up. I also refer to that as the video game posture. So the idea that, you know, your body is always trying to adapt. If your pelvis is off, there's going to be a way that your body kind of twists to, you know, maybe leans to the side a little bit and then twist your head in the other way to maintain balance. So there is always that state of trying to be able to be in alignment, trying to be in balance with yourself. And there's an energetic perspective to that, too. There is that idea of, you know, we all just kind of want to be happy. We all want to feel good. We all want to just be able to be content, however we define it. Now, some people are tremendously content when they're constantly complaining. And, you know, blessings to them if that's what they choose. It's just that when we go into somebody else's reality and adapt ourselves to that, even though that's not genuinely us, that's where conflict comes up. That's where we're no longer in alignment with our own energy. And first and foremost, and especially for you energetic healers and energetic workers out there, if you are not in alignment, if you go into work on someone and your energy isn't right, rule number one, you don't work on them. You need to be able to take yourself out of that space and put it in a space where you're totally focused on being balanced and working on, you know, sending out that good healing energy. For those who deal with, you know, people in customer service and things like that, if you're not balanced and you're walking out there on that sales floor and somebody, you know, pushes you the wrong way, you're not going to do your best work. You need to be able to stay in alignment. One of the toughest jobs that I could imagine is being in the phone customer service, the complaint line. You have a whole lot of stuff projected at you. And if that's your job, God bless, and somebody's got to do it. And the trick is that you cannot carry that. You can't take that into you. Whatever you encounter with someone else, rule number one, does it belong to you? Does their issue belong to you? Do you have to resonate at their frequency, or do you hold the integrity of your own? When we talk about frequencies, you know, we are energy. We are beings of energy. We are collections of atomic particles. And an energetic that is altered by another one loses its own integrity. We want to make sure that we stay in integrity with ourselves, with our own energy, with what feels right for us. And I was having a discussion with someone, and the question came up, can somebody be lying and be in a place of integrity? And my answer to that was, if they know consciously, one, that they're lying, they accept it's a lie, they accept the necessity for the lie, however they justify it to themselves, but the difference is that they do know it's a lie. So in some ways, yes, you can be in integrity with yourself, but not in integrity with another person. Now, optimally, we are in integrity with others as much as ourselves. And that's something that has to be worked because, you know, there's a lot of reasons that we can choose to not be authentic. In many cases, it's that we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And the second level of that is we don't want to hurt someone's feelings because there is, you know, there are ramifications to hurting someone's feelings. It may be that hurting someone's feelings brings about a very negative response that could be anywhere from unpleasant to dangerous. So we have to be careful how we apply our authenticity, but always know that you have to be authentic with yourself. You know, it's you cannot lie to yourself, and it won't be a convincing lie. Because in your heart, you really know what's going on. You really know what's true. And in spite of what we choose, we have to be able to hold that personal authenticity. It's like, yes, I'm doing this action, and I know why, and I'm making a conscious choice. Even though I know I could make other choices, this is the choice that I want. So also a part of that is boundaries, when we had talked before about making sure we have good, solid boundaries. Because when our boundaries are good, we can be in that place of personal authenticity. We can be in alignment because it allows us to be able to be free to be ourselves because we know we're in a safe environment. That what somebody else projects, it's like, you know what? Not mine. So being able to feel free to say, you know what, these are my beliefs. This is what I, you know, what I support. This is what I don't support. And if somebody says, you know what, that's ridiculous, or tries to convince you that it's just horrible and all of that stuff, you can say, you know what, I hear you. I hear what you're saying, but this is the way I'm going anyway. And then have your boundaries clear enough that you can walk away from them. That you can say, you know what, their objections, their issues, their hard place about this, it isn't mine. We are not responsible for what others, you know, think, feel, you know. I mean, ultimately, we're responsible for what we project. We're responsible for how we hold things and how we express ourselves. You are not responsible for someone else's choices as to how they respond. And depending on, you know, how we word things, it can be a situation where our authenticity can actually inspire other people to be authentic themselves. It can inspire people to step up and say, you know what, I can be myself too. I mean, there's many cases where all it takes is one person who stands up and says, you know what, I really don't agree. Or I hold it this way, or you know what, I'm going to feel free to do this particular thing. And then other people see it and say, you know what, if they can, maybe I can too. And that's that whole work around being able to step up into what you truly believe is right, not based on what somebody else believes is right, but it's what's right for you. And yes, sometimes people who choose very hard actions and, you know, even sometimes to the point of cruelty, you would say, you know, it's like, well, that's what they wanted to do and that's what they did without concern for anybody else. Well, that's a shadow side to that. Remember, there's light and shadow in everything. And, you know, there's a big difference between, say, the choices made by someone like Charles Manson and you saying, you know what, there's something, I don't want to deal with it, and I'm going to state that I don't want to do this and that I don't want to have this in my field, whatever it is. So your personal authenticity, that is yours and yours alone. And no one can take it away from you without your permission. You've got to hand it over. So being in that place of authenticity, I mean, it's just, in most cases, people, you know, when they let stuff build up, they have the big release, and then they feel so much better. It's like, oh, my God. You know, I feel so much better for just letting that go. And it's something your body immediately responds to it. It's that release. It's that being able to take things back down to a normal level. They're no longer working on this, you know, oh, my gosh, we're at DEFCON 2. It's like, okay, let's take ourselves back to DEFCON 4, and then we can shut the system down. So, you know, we don't have to wait until the volcano is about to erupt in order to say something, in order to release some of that anxiety. Sooner is definitely better than later, when you can say, you know, I really didn't appreciate that. Even something as simple as that, you know, I really didn't appreciate that. Because what it does is we validate ourselves. We make it clear, you know, I value me enough, and I trust me enough to be able to say this and know that even if this person doesn't respond well to it, I'm still okay. So what I would like everyone to do is just really think about your authenticity. Think about who you really are, what you really stand for, what you need. I mean, what are your needs? And how do you best come into this brand new year that we've got 2012 and all the excitement around it? What it's about is the idea of transformation. What is it that you can leave behind in 2011 and say, you know what, that didn't serve me and I don't need to take it with me. It doesn't fit me and it really does not move me forward. So, upcoming events. We have on December 22nd, I will be here in the Bay Area over at a community center at 875 Cinnabar Street. That's December 22nd, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. I will be the featured guest speaker for an event called Open to Light 2011. It's a speaker series regarding many paths, one faith. And you can get more information on that at www.meetup.com, Open to Light. And also in January, we have the next class for the Spirit Walker class. And that's a class taught by my teacher and dear friend Norbeth Granato. I assist in teaching that class. And it really is a phenomenal, phenomenal course. And if anybody is looking to have Norbeth come and speak, then give him a call. You can reach him at 315-3078, and I know he's willing to do a little bit of traveling. You probably have to fork over for the gas, but hey, I think that that would be very cool. And if you would like me to come and speak at any of your groups, you can reach me at 408-372-2840. And let's see, other than that, we don't have too much going on. For those here in the Bay Area who have heard about our drumming circles, we will be holding our last drumming circle next week, next Tuesday, and then that will be the last one for the year. So if you'd like information on me or any other stuff, you can go to www.meetup.com, Divine Events. Or you can find me at www.thehealinghouse.com. And you can also find out information about my new book that I'm getting ready to publish called Frequencies at frequenciesthebook.com. So I hope everyone has a wonderful week, and please feel free to contact me if I can answer any questions for you. Other than that, I wish you all blessings, And I hope you just have a wonderful, balanced life. Take care. Bye-bye.